Welcome to the Big Squid RC Podcast. This is episode number one. My name is Tim. Not to be confused with the other Tim here at Big Squid RC, my name is Tim Galuth. My voice may sound familiar. If it does, chances are you've heard my other podcast, the RC Noob Podcast. And this, well, this is a different show. This is the Big Squid RC Podcast. I want to thank the team at Big Squid RC for letting me help them launch their new endeavor. We are going to have a great show tonight. We have a great guest lined up. It's Derek Wagner from Horizon Hobby. We're going to talk about Surface RC. We're going to talk about their new large-scale Losi Super Baja Ray. We're going to talk about FPV. We're going to talk about the future of RC. And we'll talk about a few other topics as well. So without further ado, here's Derek Wagner. So joining me as guest number one on the Big Squid RC Podcast is Derek Wagner, Senior Brand Manager for Horizon Hobby. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So first question I have to ask, just because I like to know what got people into the hobby, what got you into the RC hobby, and then how did you parlay that into a job in the industry?
Well, it's a good question, and it takes me back to my younger years. It was early to mid 90s, I think. And I remember we were right around town, and I lived in a small town just east of Champaign with about 500 people. And we'd ride our bikes around town like any other kids, you know. And we rode our bikes through an area where a guy had built a small 10th scale track. And at the time, I didn't know what 10th scale was or anything, I had no experience. And I think, if my memory serves me right, there was a Clodbuster, a Grasshopper, and I think a Kyosha Ultima. And I didn't know at the time, but now I know, you know, of course I know what they are now. But right. And I remember as soon as I saw them on the track running, I knew I had to try it out. I went back home, asked my dad, or at least told my dad I thought that I needed an RC car. And he took me and bought me a Kyosha Raider. And I was hooked from then.
Very nice.
Yeah, it wasn't the best car, but it got me on the track, and I saved all my money that summer, which seemed like forever. And I finally got myself an RC10. And as you know, thousands of people, the RC10 probably being one of the most nostalgic and popular platforms, even today with the re-releases. It's just one of those things you had to have as a kid when you're getting into RC, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And after that, I just went from there. And the only time I took off was in college because, you know, honestly, all I really cared about was beer and trying to, you know, part with my friends. But as soon as I got out of college and got in the workforce, I got back into RC. And to make a long story short, one of the colleagues that I worked with at a previous employer had left that employer and went to Horizon. And she called me, I don't know, maybe after a year she's been there, and said, hey, they got a marketing position open at this Horizon Hobby. And to be honest with you, I had never heard of Horizon Hobby. I'd always been a tower guy. And I said, well, you know, I'll check this out. And, you know, 10 years later, I've been at Horizon Hobby and absolutely love it. And, you know, that experience from when I was a young, you know, 13, 14 years old, I think what it did was it really helps me relate to the customer. I mean, I understand the passion, and not only do I, you know, I understand the passion, but physically I just get it. Like I get the hobby, working on cars, trying to make them go faster, trying to make them handle better. It just really all came together on something I never thought would happen.
Well, that's cool. Makes me a little jealous, but that's really cool. So at Horizon, you guys have any number of brands that feature any number of vehicle styles from on-road to off-road and, you know, anything in between.
Yeah.
What, you know, coming into 2018, what do you see as, you know, some of the hot ticket items for not only Horizon, but just branching out then into the hobby as a whole?
You know, it's an interesting question. It's you know, we released the, well, I got to talk about the Super Baja, right?
Of course.
You know, we released that earlier in the year. And to be honest, we were a little unsure on how the market would react because there's not a lot of vehicles out there that are in between, you know, 8th scale and 5th scale. It's either you're going 8th scale or smaller, or you're going all the way up with the big boys with the, you know, with a 5T or a 5B from HPI. So we really took a chance. And this product's been in development for quite some time, and we could have released it earlier, but we wanted to really get it right. And we launched it in January, and I couldn't be more proud of the team. You know, our California team that did all the product development and the engineering, from my marketing team that launched the vehicle, it has to be one of the most exciting product releases I've ever worked on Horizon. The feedback, you know, we started shipping the vehicle last week. Some of our retailers and consumers are still waiting on their product to get there, but the consumers that have it and the retailers that have done unboxing videos for us, and, you know, we had Big Squid do they had basically the exclusive on the digital side of things, and everybody absolutely loves it. And it's just a killer vehicle that really, I think what makes it different, Tim, is it gives somebody a different experience. So they don't have to, it's not a huge 5th scale vehicle where you're limited to where you're going to have to drive in a huge open area. But it's not as small as an 8th scale to where you're a little limited in terms of if you want to really get crazy with jumps and you know, stuff like that. You can do a lot [S2] Sure. [S1] Of crazy stuff with this vehicle. It's pretty awesome.
From everything I've seen, I've seen the Big Squid videos, and I've seen what those guys have been doing with their review unit, and I've seen the videos that Horizon has put out. It's mind-blowing that a vehicle of that size is able to do what it can do, that it is so nimble and quick and fast. And when you think large scale, you don't always think those things. In some cases, you might think lumbering and takes a while to get up to speed, but this thing, it's like a massive rocket ship. That's awesome.
It is. I mean, that's not a bad analogy. I got to hand it to our team in California again, because, you know, one of the things that, and I'm going to put a plug in for them, because one of the things that I think that makes Horizon different, especially brands like Losi and Viterra, is all of these brands are, all of our development team, it's the same development team that develops our Team Losi Racing championship winning platform. So all of that heritage that we've built from Team Losi Racing back in the day, that's there. That's all trickling down into Losi, brands like Losi, Viterra, ECX. So that's something that we have that I just don't think anybody else in the industry has. And therefore, you know, all that engineering goes into a product like the Super Baja Ray, and it performs unlike anything else that would traditionally be that size.
If somebody was looking to get a larger scale vehicle, what would you want them to know about the Super Baja Ray before they looked at it?
A couple of the big things are, you know, first, the vehicle looks awesome. When you see it in person, it's just like you immediately go, wow. But the amount of technology and engineering that's under that body, whether you're talking about the Spectrum Active Vehicle Control System, which is really a stability management system like you have in your full-scale car, all the way down to the, you know, it's got massive shocks. I mean, the shock pistons, I think, are 5 millimeters. It's got 4 millimeter sway bars, a metal chassis. So not only does it look great, but, you know, when somebody's going to go buy that vehicle for the price tag they're going to pay, they're getting the best bang for their buck possible. I think that's important. I think a lot of companies promote that their vehicle to go 60, 70 mile an hour. And honestly, it's really not that hard to get a vehicle to go that fast. I think what's difficult is to put a complete package together where a vehicle goes that fast yet performs like it's a race car, like it's bred from the TLR heritage. And that's really what Losi is all about. And that's really what the Super Baja Ray is all about.
Well, that sold me. Just combining the fact that you can, yes, you can go fast, but then it's also got the performance that you're not just, you know, mash the gas and that's all you can do. The fact that it is nimble and can be nimble, and then you can tune that performance to get even more out of the machine, appeals to me, and I think it would appeal to a lot of hobbyists.
I agree. I think people are going to love it.
Excellent. In addition to the Super Baja Ray, I've seen a number of other large-scale vehicle announcements this year toward the tail end of 2017. Do you think, you know, are we on the upswing of a large-scale revolution? Or is this just, you know, hey, just coincidentally, we've got all these large-scale vehicles and we're not going to see anything else? Because over the last few years, I've seen, you know, scale RC is kind of grown and grown and grown, and then you've had monster trucks kind of do the same thing. Is this the turn for large scale?
Well, you know, if it was just the Super Baja array in the ring, I think that product itself catches a lot of attention. I think a lot of other companies in the industry are now paying attention. But yeah, coincidentally, you know, two other companies released large scale trophy trucks, basically, within 60 days of each other. I don't really believe in coincidences, but man, that's one heck of one. I think what my crystal ball was telling me, if I had one, would be that we've started a trend with the Super Baja Ray. I mean, we're not the first company to have a large scale vehicle, but I think the energy behind it, and the energy behind the Traxxas release, and the Kraken, I believe, is the other vehicle. I think that energy in itself, I think companies are going to notice that, and they're going to want to get into the game and try to bring something to the market to take advantage of all that excitement. So I do foresee other companies getting in the ring. But I got to tell you, Tim, it's going to be really hard to go head to head against companies like brands like Losi and Traxxas with products that you know, the Losi Super Baja Ray, one of a kind. There's really nothing else out there like it. And you know, Traxxas is going to bring it with their UDR. So it's going to be difficult to get in the ring and compete with us and Traxxas. But hey, if it keeps the industry growing and it keeps consumers excited, I'm all for it.
Right. Exactly. And the neat thing is since all of these vehicles, yes, technically they are large scale, but they're not the same size. So I think that's interesting to see as well. And it opens the door for people to get more than one if they are able to do so. so that's just neat to see. And I hope that maybe this, you know, is the start of something big, no pun intended. But you know, that we see a few more large scale vehicles out there, just to see what pops up.
Yeah, I think you will. I think you'll probably see more in the next, you know, sometime this summer. I think you're going to see other companies, big players. You know, you have brands like Red Cat that Horizon now distributes, that have always been a big name in the large scale market, and I'm sure they're paying attention to the excitement that we've helped bring back to that scale, if you want to say it. So I'm excited what's to come this spring and summer for sure.
So the RC hobby is filled with many, many names and a lot of big names. You've mentioned a bunch, and there are a number of big brand names under the Horizon Hobby banner. What are some names which might surprise people that, oh, I didn't know that was, you know, tied to Horizon Hobby?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. The two biggest names that just come to mind immediately are two brands. One is Revolution that we released last year, and it's a brand that's only available in store at our authorized Horizon Hobby retailers, and it's something we're really proud of because, you know, we support our brick and mortar stores, and we wanted to have something that could cater to them, to give them the opportunity to have a unique product assortment that wasn't available online and that would help increase foot traffic into their store. And on the flip side, Force RC is another brand we released, which is online only, available only on horizonhobby.com. And when I talk to consumers and I talk to retailers, and you know, a lot of people, it's starting to pick up some momentum. People are hearing about Revolution because it's doing very well through brick and mortar. People are seeing our advertising on Force through horizonhobby.com. But I think a lot of people I still talk to they're getting familiar with those two brands. But those two are probably the biggest brands that people may not know are in the Horizon umbrella. You know, the other surface brands I manage, obviously Low-C, Team Low-C Racing, Batera, Pro Boat, ECX, those are all well-established brands. And I think the majority of consumers, or at least consumers that are in the hobby, recognize those brands as being under the umbrella of Horizon Hobby. But I think Force and Revolution are new enough to where consumers are still trying to fit, you know, see where they fit into the mix. But I think, you know, with some of the marketing strategies we're laying out this year, a lot of that will be put to bed, and we can focus on, you know, really showing consumers why those products are unique.
Where would you classify those two newer brands in, you know, the Horizon landscape? Are they more budget minded? Are they more entry level? You know, who are you focusing on with those specific vehicles?
It's a good question. They're really targeting the budget minded consumer, but two consumer types. So you have the shopper, like, you know, many of us, we're shopping online constantly. I don't know about you, but I'm on Amazon constantly. I constantly have packages at the front door that I got to explain to my wife why I needed that or this.
Same here.
Yeah, right. So you're always going to have the customer that's looking for, you know, I'm only going to shop online, or they don't have a hobby shop near them. But they still want a good product that's going to be backed by a good company. And that's really where that's really where Force comes in. And that customer is typically value minded. They're typically not the customer that's going to spend $500, $600, $700 on their first vehicle purchase. Not that there's not people out there like that, 'cause I'm one of them, but, they're both really entry level. Force Online, with Revolution being that customer that wants to support their local hobby shop, and that prefers the one-to-one service they get at a hobby shop. But in general, they're both really for that budget-minded consumer. However, that doesn't mean that we're not looking into maybe expanding those a little bit, because we do know that there are customers out there that have a little bit deeper pockets that maybe want something from one of these brands that goes faster, is bigger, so we're looking at some of those opportunities as well.
So it's nice to have it. Well, it's nice to have options in general, but I like that you're, I guess, layering or giving providing a bridge work of brands. So as people get into the hobby, possibly with one of these new vehicles, you know, a Force, then they can upgrade to a ECX and then go, you know, keep going through the other brands that Horizon has. I think that's a smart plan to have. But it's also nice in that you're providing a pathway for people to grow in the hobby.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And that's one of the really cool things about Horizon, is having these what I call sub brands or individual brands under the umbrella brand of Horizon. Once they get into the hobby, you know, back when when I was a kid, when I mentioned how I got into it, I mean, there's now when kids are getting into the hobby, you know, we want the hobby to be accessible. So in some cases that means affordable and easy to use. You know, they're not necessarily getting a LiPo battery, for instance, for their first vehicle. It's all in the box. And they have, you know, we want them to have a good experience. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is ensuring that that customer has a good experience the first time. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do, or as a company we want, is for a consumer to have a bad experience and then leave the hobby, right?
Right.
And our focus is to get that consumer to have a good experience, have fun, and ultimately look for what's the next thing. And like you said, that's where brands like ECX come into hand, or if they want to, you know, they want to try a boat, that's where Pro Boat comes in. So we really have a brand roster, if you want to call it that, that caters from everybody to the noob all the way up to the world champion racer. So it makes for a great progression path, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. So I've been in the hobby for six years. And just last year, I built my first kit. So when I got in, it was, you know, I want a ready to run because I can get up and going and everything's in the box and I don't want to mess around with anything. But then I built my first kit, and that was a whole nother rush of adrenaline and a whole nother experience that I really can't wait to duplicate. But I've got to say, what you guys are doing, or what you're doing with the ECX kits, and I almost call them hybrid kits, but you get everything in the box. You don't have to hunt for radio components or motors or batteries. It's everything's there, but you still get the joy and the experience of building the vehicle, and then you get to understand how it goes together, and you get to understand, hey, if something breaks, you know, here's how I probably take this thing apart to replace the part. You hope it doesn't break, but I really like that approach with the hybrid kit.
I can remember that's our amp kit, and I can remember like it was yesterday. We were in a meeting, and you know, as with any company, we talk a lot about what's the next big thing. Like, we're always looking forward to try to figure out what the next big thing is and how can we be the first to market. And I can remember like it was yesterday, one of the guys in the room said, you know what I miss? I miss building kits, but not race kits, like the original Kia or Tamiya kits.
Sure.
And it just sort of sparked a conversation like, well, you know, if we want to get, you know, ECX is all about value, still good performance, but catering to a newer consumer or maybe a gift buyer or something like that. So long story short, we had this conversation and it turned into be like a 3-hour conversation about how can we bring that excitement, you know, like the excitement that you're experiencing building the kit again to that customer segment. And somebody said, well, let's do an ECX amp kit. And everybody sort of looked around the room and we said, well, what the hell? Let's give it a try. And, you know, we didn't really know how the market was going to react, because at the time you had to, you know, you could get Tamiya kits, or basically all the way up to Team Losi Racing or Associated Race kits. Right.
Right.
And we released it, and it just, I mean, we sold the first shipment out faster than we could basically check it in the stock. And we released a program called the Amp Camp, where dealers can buy these kits and throw like mini camps on in their store, where kids can come in, build the kits, paint the bodies, race the cars, and get the whole experience over a day or over a weekend. And it's really cool. I mean, I go to these camps and I see myself and a lot of these kids in terms of the excitement level. And the parents are just as excited because, you know, first of all, it gets the kids out of the house, off the tablets,
right?
You know, off of Netflix. And it's just something that's, we really didn't know where it was going to go. And it's turned out to be a huge success.
That's awesome. I like the concept of those amp camps when I read about those as well. And again, it's an experience. It's, you know, family time. You're a parent that's really into RC. It's a great way to get your kids away from the screens and get them doing something else. And they're still learning something. They're still learning something in the process.
Absolutely. They're learning hands-on experience. And not that, you know, my kids both have tablets, but they both love RC. So I'm in the process of building a TLR 22T 4.0. And my son, every weekend, we spend about an hour on it together. And he, you know, I let him, we're going to bleed the shocks this weekend. He's going to learn about that. So it's a good, you know, you got to give the kids some time on their toys, but this is a good way to get them some hands-on experience and then, you know, get their hands dirty, show them the basics of building something. And it, like you said, it's great for the family. It's just fun. It's a great experience overall.
Yeah. I'm going to bring up Viterra because I haven't seen much from Viterra for a while. And then late last year, boom, you guys came up with a bind and drive Ascender. And then just a few weeks ago, a new Chevy C10 with LED lights. Is that the beginning of more? Ask somebody that is kind of a fan of Viterra stuff.
Well, the short answer is yes. The Viterra, the Ascender bind and drive, again, like the amp, was a little bit of a test. This bind and drive concept, you know, it isn't new.
Right.
We've had bind and drive vehicles under the Losi brand for quite some time, and I'm really proud of the Ascender platform. Nobody really took on Axial. There were some, RC four-wheel drive's done a good job. Traxxas has a TRX4 now. It's really made an impact on the market. But prior to that, nobody had really taken on Axial, and that's where the Ascender platform came on and really gave consumers another option. But as you know, the scaling segment is probably still the fastest growing segment in the market, unless the Super Baja Ray and all those guys take over. So what we wanted to do was, how can we give consumers another reason to buy Viterra? And what we found was, or buy an Ascender vehicle, and what we found was, talking to consumers, a lot of consumers, at least in the more advanced segment, have more than one vehicle. And we thought, well, why make those consumers pay the whatever $60 or $70 for a radio system that they don't need?
Right.
And why not give them if they can go into a store, get an Ascender kit or an Ascender RTR that performs just as well as anything else on the market, but pay $60 or $70 less and use their existing radio system? And that sounds like a great idea. And it turned out to be. It was another, it was another one of those things where we were trying to think of the consumer first, and it worked. The Ascender behind and drive has been a huge success, and we're one to take. We'll note that, and there's probably going to be some other behind and drive vehicles come out later this year, for sure.
That's good to know. I know when I look at my personal collection, I have a shelf dedicated to all the remotes that I have for all my ready to run vehicles, and there are times where it's like I wish I could get rid of half of those, but still, in some way, shape, or form, have a need for them. So the bind and drive speaks to me because it would save more room, and I could put a vehicle there instead of another remote.
Yeah, and then you mentioned the C10.
Yeah,
and I actually, before I left the office this morning, I was showing somebody in the office the lights. One of our team members came over and wanted to check out the lights. They had a retailer that called them and asked them a question or something like that, and it got me thinking of how really critical our team in California, I've mentioned that a couple of times, and anybody that doesn't know, our product development and engineering team for our service brands, are located in our Ontario facility or headquarters in Ontario, California. And, they take this as about as serious as anybody. And, the C10 has been a popular platform. We sold a C10 before this new one. But the number one question we got from consumers, or the number one comment, was, "Man, we wish it had lights," and we wished it was a different color other than black. Not that people don't love black, but right. They just wanted to. The key with these guys is they want something that looks different. And not all of them have the skill or the time to paint a body and to add lights. And you got to cut a hole in the body. And if you're anything like me, I'll have the body chopped up and it'll look terrible. So the guys took it to the next level, and they brought in a strawberry red color for a secondary color, and they added headlights and amber running lights. And I'll tell you, when you drive the vehicle at night, I'll drive it in my cul-de-sac at night, it absolutely looks stunning. And it performs. It's a four-wheel drive chassis that's the same chassis that's on our Camaro SS. So it handles well, performs well, but it's just a beautiful truck.
Yeah, you guys have been getting a ton of mileage out of that V100S chassis. Everything I've seen from the pictures to the videos of that new C10, just a beautiful machine. I thought I was looking at a one-to-one picture on one of the shots. It looks so, so nice. And I'm personally a fan of scale, just scale details. And when I saw from the beginning what Viterra was putting into their models, just little bits and pieces that you didn't see from other brands, that really spoke to me, and that kind of got me more interested in seeing what next was coming from Viterra. So now that you've got lights, man, I'm just hook, line, and sinker.
You have to get yourself one.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm going to ask you to get out your crystal ball again.
All right. And
we're going to look at just wide open. And well, let me rephrase that. We're going to be wide open, but we're going to focus more on the technology side. where do you see, with how things have changed over the last 5 years, even 2 years, I can tell you since my time getting into the hobby, things have changed a lot. Where do you think the technology drive is going to take things in the next, oh, let's say 2 years?
You know, it's a good conversation, and it goes back to my point earlier about we're always trying to look forward, and we're always trying to figure out what the next big thing is, and that's not easy. I mean, you're really shooting darts at a, you know, just you don't know where you're going. You're trying to look at current problems that consumers are experiencing. You're trying to look at improvements of existing product, but it's hard. I think a couple things are gonna come onto the market here pretty quickly. You know, FPV is taking the air category, especially in the FPV drone racing community, mm-hmm. by storm. I mean, that market, you know, as well as I do, I mean, that market's just skyrocketed, especially with, you know, ESPN taking on FPV racing and just the commercialization of it, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it really hasn't picked up a lot of steam in the surface area. And I believe it's just the surface guys, they're a little bit more finicky when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I think whereas the FPV racers, they're okay with the analog signal, because there's no latency. Yeah. You get some lines in the video, but it's good enough. Mm-hmm. And I think once somebody can crack the code with digital FPV, I think that's a home run. And that just gives the consumer a 10 times better experience than what they can get now. Not that what they can get now is terrible, because I use it all the time, but I think if you're really looking to reach a lot of people, you're going to have a digital solution to some extent. And I think it's right around the corner. Somebody's going to do it here pretty quickly. I know you mentioned you're pretty big in FPV. What do you think?
As I mentioned before the show officially started, it's my new drug, and it is. I will throw the goggles on and fire up a car, whether it's an on-road car or an off-road car, and just take a couple laps, even in my basement, and I get a adrenaline rush like I've not gotten in a while. it's amazing, really. Line of sight, yes, it's exciting, and I love line of sight driving, but you put the goggles on and you are just locked in. It's a whole new experience. It's so immersive. And I found myself just paying attention to how I drive. I drive a lot more closer to the edge with FPV. I get closer, literally, I will get closer to barriers. I'll get closer to furniture, people, pets. but I've got the confidence that I'm not going to hit this thing because I can make these split second moves. Whereas your line of sight, if your depth perception is off by a little bit, maybe you're letting off the gas a little bit, or maybe you're slowing down a little more. With FPV, I'm full throttle all the time, making split second decisions. Man, I love it. I'm getting pumped up just talking about it right now. I can feel my pulse go up. I can feel my grip tighten on the controller. You give me the choice between, playing a game on the Xbox or FPV. I'll take FPV every day.
I'm with you. It's a blast. It's something new. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they both absolutely love it. The headsets barely fit on their heads, but they make it work. And again, it's a fun experience right now. Spectrum makes some really great gear, from the Focal DVR headset to their 2510, this waterproof heavy duty camera, FPV camera they have, so that if you do crash or get it wet, it's not going to ruin the camera. It's really easy to install. You can basically install in any vehicle, and that's what I use around the house with the kids. And we drive it up and down around the cul-de-sac, and they absolutely have a blast. But I do think one of the challenges the industry's facing right now, and it's not just Horizon Hobby, it's everybody, is how do we get more consumers into the hobby? And I think with digital FPV, a digital solution, that could be really easy. Or a lot easier than we have it now. And like I said, I think it's probably going to happen this year. I'd be surprised if somebody didn't bring it out this year. But I think that's probably one of the next big things. Definitely.
Yeah. As you heard my spiel on it. For me, I think, yes, a clear signal, greater range. That's really the big thing for me. That's holding in, like I said, I'm all in, I love it. But then as soon as my car gets just to the edge of visual reception, that's when things kind of get, it's a bummer. Because I want to be able to blast across the parking lot or zip around a house or do whatever and not have to chase after the car. Not that I'm lazy. Agreed. Not that I'm lazy. I just, I think that'd be cool. And I think you could then organize more races that way. You could get multiple people involved, multiple vehicles, and then nobody's got to get up and chase their vehicle, take the goggles off and ruin the experience and take themselves out of that zone that you're in. So I think, any way to increase range, increase the clarity, like you said, I think digital is close just from what I've seen from aftermarket brands and things like that. I think FPV quadcopter racing is really going to drive some of this stuff. Because I tend to think that they're getting some of the latest and greatest, and they're probably tinkering with things as well. But the more you see that applied to surface, the happier I'm going to be, because I can't fly for anything.
I'm not the best pilot either. I think many of the folks at the office will probably tell you the same thing. I believe the other big thing that's missing from the industry that I think it's important is just, everything that, everything in our life outside of RC, we're connected in terms of smart technology. So, I can watch Netflix on my phone. I know at CES they had LG and Samsung were really big on, having a connected home. So your phone was connected in, from everything to your refrigerator, to your dishwasher, to your thermostat, which sounds a little crazy to me, but, in 10 years it may not be.
Right.
I think that's one thing that could be useful in the industry, and I think it's coming. I think somebody's just got to figure out how to implement it right. So, you have apps or whatever you want to call it, like Strava or Fitbit that track how many steps you take, and they create a community around that. I think that's going to be big. I think, we've brought the DX6R to market on the surface side. It has an integrated Android platform in it, and now the iX12 on the air side, and we're really starting to see people look at things a little differently. Like, wow, this could really be the foundation for something big moving forward. I think that the golden ticket here is, now that we have smart devices out there within industry, how can we connect everybody to share those experiences? I really feel like that's probably going to change the game, pardon the cliche, but I think it's going to be something that really takes everything to the next level.
Well, that's a good way to think about it. I never really considered the Strava or the social aspect of it before. I like the idea of getting feedback from my vehicle and being able to do something with, well, being able to review it, even if I don't do anything with it. I'm kind of a data geek, and I like, it's just nice to get data, nice to get feedback. So it's cool to see, yes, how hot your motor's running and this and that, but it'd be even greater, I think, to see, hey, this is where, this is my trail that I ran with my vehicle.
Yep.
So GPS tracking, it gives you, hey, cool, you get to show other hobbyists where you're, where you run your rig, if they're looking for a place to run.
Yeah.
It's a great way to do that. I think the feedback aspect is crucial as well. You could add more than just temps and speed and more than just a tuning tool, but you can blend the lines and blur the lines between entertainment and usefulness. When you start to dip into some of those app-enabled and internet-enabled capabilities.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, imagine, we have, pretty much every company in the industry has telemetry to some extent or another, right?
And right.
But I don't know that, like you said, I think, you know, motor temperature, RPM, and converting that to miles per hour, or however, you know, GPS, we're using that for miles per hour and speed. And, you know, that's all been done, and it's pretty easy. But, you know, what we really haven't done is crack the code on more data. So I'm a data geek as well. So, you know, there, you know, maybe things like, you know, if you're into scaling and you're at a scaling event, if you could have somehow a you know, if your screen could show you a pitch angle, so you know the maximum pitch angle before you tip over, and maybe give you an alert. I don't know if they would consider that cheating, yeah. But I think it would be really cool. I think things like that, it's really neat. It changes the experience. More data, the more data you have, the harder you're going to push yourself to do, you know, to go just a little bit further on the edge before you tip over in that instance. But that type of data, you know, we could do, most receivers have accelerometers in them. So in terms of if they have a gyro, you can measure G-force, things like that. And then share that with, you know, share that in a community that, hey, I just, you know, Tim just hit 4 G's or 10 G's in his Super Baja Ray, and somebody tries to outdo you. That might be fun.
As you were talking about the pitch angle, what if you took FPV and combined it with augmented reality? So it's a blending of VR and FPV. So if you crash, you get, you know, busted windshield and stuff flying around the interior of your vehicle, and I don't know, just...
I love it. I love it. I mentioned VR in a team meeting. I think it was late last year, and said something very similar. What if we could have the driver, you know, be able to race at any course, right?
And I
think a lot of folks aren't quite familiar with the capabilities of VR, so I got a lot of blank stares. But my plan is just to keep pushing it on them and see ultimately if they'll just give in and let me try something. So
that would make my basement a lot more useful to drive in instead of just doing boring laps and trying to dodge toys. but I think all of those things, or anything to get younger people, kids, AKA kids, interested in the hobby, because as you mentioned earlier, getting them away from the tablets, getting them away from the screens, that's my problem too. It's the struggle is real. I've got 3 boys ranging from 11 to 5, and you know, the screen is their focus more than I would like it to be. So the more you can get that experience, or get an experience that they're familiar with into RC, I think the better off the hobby is going to be as a whole, and then the more fun they're going to have, because they're going to find something that's familiar and they're going to be able to relate to it a little bit easier.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're really talking about is gamifying, or, you know, the gamification aspect of RC, and bridging the things that your kids and my kids are on all the time with RC, and then with, you know, and hopefully transitioning them, into something that's closer to the RC. But if you can gamify it and bring something that they're accustomed to and that they have fun at, even better.
Yeah. In some cases, I think I wonder if VR and FPV aren't confusing people, if they're not confusing one for the other, or they think FPV is VR and that's, you know, they want that otherworldly experience. And then, you know, once you say, oh, it's just a, you know, it's the camera view, but it's still really cool. Oh, that's okay. Well, that's not what I'm looking for. At least that's kind of the feedback I've gotten from my kids a little bit, where it's like, oh, don't we have, we have VR goggles downstairs, don't we? And like, oh, no, those are FPV. Oh, and you can just see them, you know, just kind of,
Well, I know one way to get around that, Tim. I just call my FPV goggles VR goggles, and the kids just absolutely love it. They just think they're VR.
I'll try that. I'll just, you know, try that again.
Yeah, let's try that one.
All right. So are there any other items that you can see tech-wise, or even, you know, even outside of tech, just, you know, vehicle-wise, do you think scale RC is going to keep rolling as hot and heavy as it's been rolling?
No, that's a question we talk a lot about. in terms of has the segment plateaued? And I don't think it has. I think, you know, what we're starting to see, and this is typically an indicator of continued growth, is more and more support from the aftermarket, our aftermarket brands like Vanquish, RC four-wheel drive. I mean, they're just doing more and more to support the Ascender platform, obviously Axial product, TRX4. And I usually look at that as an indicator of if there's growth opportunities or if the category is plateaued. I think you're going to see it this year, especially, I think you're going to see companies sort of forced by competition to just take everything to the extreme in terms of scale. So, you know, who thought Traxxas was going to get into the scaling market? I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. So with their TRX4, I mean, and they did a great job, and they just brought it. And I think what, you know, like companies like Horizon and, you know, Axial, the big dogs in the arena, we look at that and we look at that as a challenge. Like, hey, they brought it. They brought an exceptional product to market. How can we do even better? And ultimately give the consumer even an even better experience. And I think you're going to see, more scale detail. You're going to see more licensing, and you're going to see some pretty innovative stuff in terms of the performance attributes that vehicle can really bring to the table. I know from Horizon you are, and I really think in 2018 that's going to continue to grow, grow with competitors like Traxxas and you know the Red Cat Everest has really reignited the $200 or sub $200 market. People are excited about it. I mean, when I talk about scaling to people at the office, consumers, people love it. And I think that's a sign that there's a lot of energy behind it. There's definitely going to be more to come.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. Too easy to lose track of who was coming out with what last year or over the last 2 years, even. Just, it was one rig after another, and seeing them come out at different price points. From my perspective, I love to see that because I think you're going to hit everybody. You hit the entry-level person, you hit the person that's established, you hit the person that maybe has something but they want to grow and get bigger or take the step up. I hope we see more of that. I hope we see more brands getting into it. I hope we see more models. I hope we see more, just more, not only from Scale RC, but also from Monster Trucks and every other avenue in the hobby. I think all of this competition, all these other brands pushing one another, it's, you know, competition breeds competition, and that ultimately pushes out better product for the consumer, and I think will make the hobby stronger in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Monster Trucks, you know, with Traxxas bringing out the X-Max. You know, it really, Monster Trucks will always be hot. I mean, it's just one of those things to where most people can relate. Everybody likes to see a big monster truck going fast. But you know, when Traxxas brings out something like the X-Max, it gets the competition thinking about, okay, what else can we do? How can we take that to the next level? And like scaling, that's good for the market because it forces innovation, and ultimately that leads to new customer experiences. And honestly, that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Derek, I want to thank you for being guest number one on episode number one of the Big Squid RC podcast. And if people want to learn more about Horizon Hobby or any of the Horizon Hobby brands, what's the best way that they can find more information or stay up to date on what's going on?
The best way is to follow us on our social media channels through Horizon Hobby or horizonhobby.com to get all the latest information, new product releases, and stay in touch with all that's going on.
And I have noticed that you guys have been putting out Thursday Thunder videos on YouTube. So I would encourage folks to check that out if you've not yet done so. It's informative. You've done some really cool under the hood, you know, taking a peek under, you know, at the inner workings of some of these new vehicles, like the Losi Super Baja Ray, and just doing a teardown and examining some of these big beefy parts. And then you've also done speed runs with it, so you get to see it from all angles and all aspects. So if you're into that, if you're into the technical, if you're into the speed, go check out Horizon Hobby's YouTube channel. There, I just gave you a big plug.
Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. So again, thank you from everybody at Big Squid for being guest number one on episode number one. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We hope to have you back on soon.
Thanks as well, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Derek Wegner for joining me on this first episode of the Big Squid RC podcast. To subscribe to the podcast, simply search for the Big Squid RC podcast in your favorite podcast client or app. We will have it on iTunes, Google Play Music, and many other popular outlets. So just search for the show name. When you're not listening to the show or driving your RC machines, be sure to drop us a line at contest@bigsquidrc.com, and you'll be entered into a monthly drawing for a Big Squid sticker pack or some other cool swag. So be sure to check that out as well. Until next time, this is Tim Gluth with the Big Squid RC Podcast. We'll talk with you later.